Good to see you all. Good to see you. Merry Christmas. I love Christmas. I love Christmas. December 1, it just kicks in our household, and I watch every Hallmark movie, like they're tragic, right? You know the script before it begins. You're like one scene in and you go, right, she's going to marry him. They're going to settle down in that town of about 1,000 people. They're going to celebrate Christmas together, raise their kids there, and next year we'll get a new version of this by two different actors who couldn't get a gig anywhere else. But it's great. I love Christmas. I love it with all my heart. I do recognise that Christmas is different for everybody, and especially here, you know, you've got people way away from their family and everything going on. And so obviously we're talking about joy, but I wanted to continue the theme of last week. And so I'm going to do that, how to get peace and thrive on. I just want to say one thing on joy. We got home yesterday, late yesterday. I'm surprisingly not jet lagged. And we were at one point the last couple of weeks, we're in Wisconsin, Green Bay, Wisconsin, which is up in the north of the US. And it's snow country, you know. But we were there for a football game. And we were there, 70,000 people, minus, like below zero, out in the elements. There's no roof on the building. And on a silver, you know those school seats, the tin seats? Well, I'm like, I just paid $300 a ticket to sit on a tin seat. This is below zero to watch a football team. But here's the thing, at the end of that game, the team that my son and I follow in NFL were playing against the greatest quarterback of this generation. His name is Patrick Mahomes. And at the end of that game, our team, which is pretty average right now, but they wear Australian colours, so that's a good thing, they win, like in the final minute, like they win. And the place, I've been to Origin when we've won in the final minute, but it cannot compare with 2 weeks ago. And we are screaming and yelling, and I look up to my son, we're like, yes! And everyone around us, the people in front of us had driven 9 hours to be there, and like it was nuts and it was going crazy. And as we were singing, joy, unspeakable joy, I thought, man, a stadium packed of 70,000 people has got nothing on what's going to happen in the moment you and I step into eternity, surrounded by billions and the King Jesus at the center of it all. And I just went, man, and it won't be below zero. I'm believing for that. I'm believing. It might be snowing. In fact, I'm thinking it's going to be 21 degrees, snow, because that'd be a great Christmas feel. And somehow God will bring it all together. Joy, unspeakable joy. And he certainly promises that. I want to speak to you about how to get peace and thrive by it. You can call this part two on Pastor Kerry's message last week. And so some of you, you're like, you've never known peace, and this is going to be really helpful. And for others, you're like, yeah, I know what the Bible says about peace, and that's good, and maybe you live in it, and maybe you don't. But I want to talk to you about peace and how to thrive by it, even if you know it. But is there a place in your life where you're not living it, where it's not real? How real is God's peace to you in the way we're going to look at here? Not knowledge, but in practice. And is there anywhere in your life right now where the peace is being stolen, is being disrupted? I just told you, we're just in the US. Well, we're in the US 4 years ago on what would be the dream holiday of our life. I have one thing on my life bucket list, just one, and that was to give, if we could, and I didn't know that we ever would be able to, our kids a white Christmas. That was my one dream. So in December 2019, we did. We went to the US. We went up to make sure we got it. We went above the border up into Canada to make sure it snowed. We had a white Christmas with our kids right on near Niagara there. It was amazing. It was like something that Bron and I, we spent most of our life broke. We couldn't imagine that that was going to be the case. And we did it. And so we turned over, this has a purpose, we turned over the final day of 2019 into 2020 in New York. And 2020, we woke up. 2019 had been the culmination of 7 years of hard work. Literally, the weekend before I left, I think I preached here, and I drove up the mountain here. I got to the top, and it hit me, it struck me, that what we'd said 7 years ago we thought God was doing was now a reality. And I stopped the car at the top of the hill. I got out, and I tried not to look weird. I tried to look like I'm just speaking on the phone or something. And I just praying to God, and I'm like, God, how good is this? You've done the impossible. This is miraculous. December 2019, or November it was, 2019. Well, 2020 kicks in, and who remembers 2020? Forever. 2020 is the year of 2021 was hit repeat. And then 2022 happened. And the world, most of the world, just went, oh, some normality. And my world, my personal world, went into the biggest challenge I've ever lived through. And 2023 got harder until July. And so we've just gone on another trip to the US. You're like, how rich are you? We are so rich, you can't believe it. No, not really. We don't do anything else. I don't own anything. Like, we don't own toys. We don't, you know, we don't do anything else. And so we've gone, and so I've got like these two bookends. America, 2020 COVID, 2021 COVID, 22 crisis, 23 crazy, 2023, end of 2023, I'm there. And I actually got to be alone for 4 days because I hurt my back and I couldn't leave the hotel. Yeah, I know, it was weird, but it was good. It was like peace. Like Bron came home one night and she said, how was it? I said, oh, Bron, you can't believe it. I was just sitting here with God. It was extraordinary. Like, I can't explain the peace that I was just... But I did go, hey, I've just bookended 4 years, I think. And I'm expecting about 2024. But here's the thing. Imagine that I waited 4 years. Imagine not knowing at the start and then 2020 happens and you're like, oh, I can't wait till things get back to normal. And when they do, I'm going, oh, I can't wait to have peace. I would have just done 4 years without peace. And then when I finally got peace, I'm stuck in a hotel room for 4 days on my own while my kids are at Disney World. So even then, my peace gets disrupted. And the Bible steps into that and says, there's a peace that transcends all of that. And that's what, in the last 4 years, that's what we were able to see. And that's what I was able to live. And that's what my family were able to live. And we can honestly say, as we venture to the end of 2023 and the start of 2024, we've never been better individually, never been better as a family, never been stronger as a church than we are in this moment, despite all of that. It's miraculous. And God kept us at peace through it all. Were there moments? Of course. But the peace of God. And how do you get peace? How do you thrive by it? I want to help you with it. And so Jesus is with his inner circle one day. He's with his 12 disciples. And these young guys, historians say they were, you know, well, some historians say they're most likely teenagers. So think about what I'm about to say, and these are teens. I don't like my teenage daughter, my youngest, to be left out. That's the level of tension I'm prepared to live with for my kids, you know. And so here's what was about to go on, and I want you to hear what Jesus said. Within the next 24 hours or so, one of them's going to abandon Jesus, so betray them all, not just Jesus, all of them. They are all going to abandon Jesus. Jesus will go to the cross shortly after that. And in just a month away from that, the Jesus movement will explode onto the human stage and it will forever shape and change the world that we know. Here we are, Christmas Day, 2023, because of what went on back then. And so their world is about to be chaotic and crazy and turmoil and opposition and revival and empowerment and miracles and craziness and you know, all kinds of things are going to go on. And Jesus says this to them before they've breathed the breath of that, before they can, because they can't possibly fathom what's ahead of them now. Here's what he says in John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace. I leave you my peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. All that is about to come into their world. And Jesus says to these probably teenage boys, hey, I'm about to leave you my peace. And no one can steal it from you. It's not like the world's peace. It's a peace that I can give. And it's a peace like the world doesn't know. And so this peace that Jesus speaks of is greater than anything and everything and anything that anyone can bring against them. And I was trying to find the right words. I like to condense phrases into 8 words or less so that you can remember them, or maybe that I can articulate them. I'm not sure, but I couldn't do it. So I'm just going to give you what I got here. This peace it talks of when you look it up, it's this harmony with God. It's this calmness, but not just calmness. It's confidence of body, mind, and spirit in all things at all times. This trust within in the grace and power and promise of God and the supernatural intangibles soon to be on display in their lives. Because there are supernatural intangibles that I can't give language to. Like, how are you at peace in the midst of madness? How do you be at peace when the world is turned upside down? I spent lots of time with my mum in the last 7 weeks of her life. She was in hospital. And all my mum wanted to do was talk to the next person about Jesus. Like, honestly, you wonder how I'm here. Well, that's how we're here, right? The grace of God and a mother who models something beautiful. And I'll be like, Mom, you know, you're 59, you're too young. She'd be like, oh, Darren, I'm at peace. I'm all good. I'm worried about them, not me. And this peace, it was an intangible that you can't manufacture, you can't create, you can't just declare it into existence. It's something that God gives. Jesus said, my peace I give you. And it's a peace like no one else can. And so Jesus is making it clear that there's no ordinary peace. And I'm going to leave it with you. It's not like the world. And so what's he saying? He makes a point. It's not like the peace the world can give. It's not circumstantial. It's not situational. It doesn't need a single thing to change or a setting to shift or anything to happen, anything to come or go. We can have it anywhere at any time amongst anything, with you know, anything at all that you can think of going on. Jesus is talking about supernatural peace, and we can have it right here, right now, where you're at in what you're going through, if you are. And what I love about this, it's with you in the middle of the worst, and it's at your back when everything's going your way. And I remember one day I was on an escalator going to, at that time, I used to have a job before I was a pastor, and I was going to a meeting where I had to negotiate a big contract. And I remember as I started to go up the escalator, it was like the first time it ever happened to me. I just felt the peace of God descend upon me. Like, there are no words for it. I was just going up the escalator. I'm going to a meeting. I'm a little bit anxious. And the peace of God comes on me. And I remember it was the first time I thought of a phrase that I use all the time. Oh, God's got me. And God's got this. God's got me and God's got this. And I remember going into that meeting and going, I cannot lose here. The peace of God is upon you, and that's what he promises. The best example I could think of when I was trying to put this together for you is the Baptist minister, Martin Luther King Jr. You all know him? Martin Luther King Jr. Let me read to you the words of his final speech when he knew what was about to take place. He had a sense of it. It's a prophetic message. And if you get a chance to later go listen to the final speech of Martin Luther King Jr., you will hear the peace within him. Listen to what he said. He says, and I wish I could do it justice, but I can't. I'm a middle of the road country Australian. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. He goes on, he says, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And so I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. You can hear the peace even when I say it in my little rough Aussie accent. You sense the peace when you listen to him say those words. And it's not a peace that anyone can give or anyone can take away. It can't be stolen by a racist or a death threat or anything else. It's the peace of God on the inside of him that enables him to stand in the last few days of his life, in his last public platform and say, it's all good. I'm going to be okay. I might not get there with you, but it's going to be okay. God's got me. I've seen what's to come and I'm ready to go. That is powerful peace. And that's the kind of peace that Jesus said his disciples would have and that he offers to you and I today. Why wouldn't anyone not want to follow Jesus? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it as the world gives. So don't let your heart be troubled and don't be afraid. When Jesus was born, the Bible says this, Luke chapter 2 and verse 12 to 14, this will be the sign to you, you'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. What that does to my mind as I think about who God is. Like, would you allow that to go on? My child would be born in absolute luxury with every attendant possible and everything in their favour. But God creates this humble situation where the baby that is holding God in the flesh, is God in the flesh, is clothed in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. Peace. peace to everyone on whom his favour rests. It's documented in hundreds of years before he comes that he will be the bringer of peace, ultimately to humanity, but to the individual. And then in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, in Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Titus, 1 Peter, 2 Peter and 2 John, they all open with an introduction that sounds something like this in the first few verses. Peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to know peace, and peace that only he can give and that nobody can take away. So how do we get it? Here's a starting point. Some of you, this is obvious, you're already there. But I need to lay the foundation because everything else flows out of it. And it starts here in saying yes to God's peace plan for you. Isaiah 53:5, this great prophecy before Jesus has even arrived. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds we are healed. How do you get peace and thrive by it? Choose peace with God. God's already done everything, hasn't he, to make peace possible with him. As a starting place here today, Jesus' death on a cross pays the penalty. It ends the tension. It secures the peace. His death on a cross, which doesn't always make sense to everybody, I get it, but God needed someone to pay the price, and he said, I'm going to take all of humanity and put it on the one Jesus. He was born for that purpose, and that's how he brings peace. And he says, hey, you can have peace with God because of what I've already done. Acts 10:36 in the Bible. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through the Lord Jesus Christ, who was Lord of all. The good news of peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how you feel about that. I can remember when I didn't have peace with God. I can remember when it wasn't a thing and where I wondered what would happen when it was all over, what would go on. And I had an Uber driver the other day and he said, oh, you must have done a good deed for that to happen, you know. And Brian and he have this faith conversation. He had a sincere faith, but he was locked into the mindset that it was going to come down to him, and he just needed to know that deliverance is going to come from Jesus. It's the peace that he brings, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us so that we can have peace. Peace with God, it's a now thing, isn't it? It's a right now thing, you and I can know peace with God. It's a within thing. It's a within thing that we can know peace with God. And it's a beyond the grave thing. Like, what a thought. But right here, right now, I never need to fear or think or worry about beyond the grave again. The only thing I'm looking forward to is the day when the snow falls at 21 degrees Celsius and the crowd of billions are around Jesus and we're worshiping and we're free and we're liberated. And here it comes. I've told Bron, I'm going to live in a winery. And my winery's going to run down onto a river of crystal clear water that runs straight past. And Bron said, Daz, if you've got a winery, you have to work the winery. You won't like that. I went, no, Bron, I don't work the winery. Angels work the winery. Well, I don't know what's coming, but I know the day is coming when even beyond death, we live at peace in this moment and on our deathbed and everywhere in between because of the peace that God gives and that nobody can take away. What a way to live this life. To live at peace and to thrive by it is the way to live. Peace with God. Peace with God. And it's so much closer than we might think if we don't know. It's like, I've heard people say, it's like a breath away. And it really is a breath away. A breath away, peace with God. Peace with God from our sin, peace of God within, peace of God right now, peace of God for beyond the grave, with a prayer that acknowledges, Lord, I've stuffed it up, I've gotten it wrong. I mean, it doesn't take long to work that one out, right? I acknowledge that Jesus died for my sins on a Roman cross, that he was born into the world to bring about that peace for me. I trust in that today, and I'm forever going to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Peace with God is much closer than you think and as simple as that, or some version of it. He's not really worried about the version. I've been long enough around that it sounds like I know how the version works. His version is your heart just getting right before him, and so you can work with that. Number one, how to get peace and thrive by it. Choose peace with God, and then everything else builds on that and flows out of that. Here's a second thought, just about cultivating peace with God and cultivating peace within. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ, he's speaking to believers, and he says, hey, let the peace of God rule in your heart, which tells me that you can live not letting it. Yeah. Otherwise, why say it? No one has to tell me to breathe unless I'm having an attack. And then they'll go, breathe. Yeah. Until then, no one's telling me to breathe. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, since we are members of one body and you were called to peace and therefore be thankful. Let the peace, just that I'm right with God. And not just, I think Kerry said it last week, not just a ceasefire with God, but I'm right with God. There's alignment, there's synergy, there's peace, there's love. You know, my kids, there's no day, and if you're a parent, you probably know it. There's no day I don't have to ever wake up and choose to love them. Like, not ever. Not one time. Not that I can think of. And that's you. That's me. That's us with God. And so cultivate that. And so it's more than a ceasefire. Philippians 4, 6 to 8, which is where Kerry went. I want to drill down for a moment in the moment that I have. And it says, Philippians 4, 6 to 8, break it down, two parts here. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Wow. Oh, I'm in awe of that. Anxious about something? Pray about it, right? What's he saying? He's saying, hey, what are you worried about? Pray about it. It's pretty simple. And so what's worrying you this Christmas? Is there something? Have interest rates risen? Are your family in another country? Is your marriage on the brink? Are your kids not coming home for Christmas? So I don't know what it is. I don't know. Whatever it is, what's worrying you? Give it to God and just get the peace back, because that's what he created us for. And just get it back. There's nothing to be anxious about. And so give it to God and just get your peace back. What is that? You know, I for years and years, my family was like the easiest family in the world. You know how you get a family, and some families, like, you watch it on TV and you go, oh, imagine having a chaotic family. And then one day I woke up and I had it as well. I'm like, oh, where did this come from? How did this happen? And like, my brother is married to Bron's sister, except they're not married anymore. They're divorced. Like, that's a tension to manage, right? Every year. But God's got it. And God's got them. And God's got it all. And you've got your own circumstances, but right in the midst of it, just pray about it. Don't worry about it. And Kerry used the word last week, exchange. I thought, oh, I'm going to steal that. It's an exchange zone of anxiety for confidence, where we go, hey, God, here it is. I've never seen God not work it all out. The exchange zone of letting the anxiety go and letting peace come. And so what is that for you? Because I'd love you to do that today. It'd be a tragedy to sit through this preach and to go away and keep being anxious about something where you could be at peace. And so that's the first. And then verse 8, I love this. Right? This changed my life. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So he says, hey, pray about it. Just rethink it and let the peace of God come. Rethink it and get your peace back. There are just some things. So what are you thinking about that's unhelpful to you? Just get some peace back and just rethink it. Whatever is excellent, whatever is praise-worthy, whatever is, you know, I was in a hotel room. Essentially, I walked to Starbucks every day. I'd take the meds. I had something going on with my back. I'd take the meds. I'd wait till, like, this was an exciting holiday. At 2 o'clock, I'd be like, right, 1 hour, and I'm going to walk a third of a mile to Starbucks. And that was my holiday for the last 4 days of it. I'd walk the third of a mile to Starbucks, and I'd sit down, and I couldn't holiday, so I'd work on something for an hour, and then I'd walk back to the hotel room. It was beautiful every day. What an exciting holiday. But why was I telling you that? Oh, so someone was saying, oh, you poor thing. You poor thing. And I didn't mean it. I just said to them, I said, oh, my kids are at Disney World every day. I had a really comfortable place to be. I had a great time with God. I got to watch NFL on repeat all day if I wanted. Interrupt it with a movie from Hallmark, All the Men Judge Me. And then spend some more time with God. And then my family come back. It was pretty good, actually. Just depends how you wrap it, right? Because I understand the other version. But what good's that to me? And the Bible comes along and says, hey, you anxious about something? Pray about it, rethink it. And I love that ad. That's my favorite Christmas ad I think I've ever seen. I'm like, how good is this? Because that is the truth. But even if all that got stripped away from us, still be there. And so pray about it, rethink it. And then let me wrap with this. I'm not sure. Oh, there it is. And that is, I think the big one beyond peace with God is pursue peace with people. You know, how to get peace and thrive by it. And I deliberately use the word pursue because pursue is active. It's moving towards it. It's not waiting for it to happen to me. Man, if we wait, we're human, aren't we? You are so human. So am I. So human. I was with my son in a queue coming back and we're waiting. Brum was sorting something out with a flight because my back was bad. I couldn't lift the bags. Felt like the worst husband in the world. And here's my 15, 16-year-old daughter lifting heavy bags and I'm standing there watching. And I wanted to say to everyone, hey, I don't normally do this, just so you know. But anyway, we're there. And Bron got something wrong. And I know what you're thinking, of course, Darren, of course it wasn't you. And I was thinking the same thing. And I turned to Lockie and I said, hey, son, I knew this was going to happen. He said, he gets his mum much better than his father. He said, Dad, whatever you do, don't say that. And I went, well, of course I'm not going to say it. And he went, really? I went, no. I said, look, you know, sometimes your mum says that, right? But I don't. He went, no, Dad, mum never says that. I went, what, you're saying I say it? And he went, yes. I went, oh, I had no idea, right? Like we see the world through our own beautiful lens. But we're all so human. All of us are so human. And so we need to extend grace and pursue peace and all of that. And so Romans 12 says, live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Don't repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. I love this. This is the verse, verse 18. If it is possible, which tells me that it's not always. Not everybody's up for peace. But as much as it depends on us, right? So not everybody's up for peace. And if we've gone there, but here's what I find. Is anyone else a fan of the Hunger Games? See, I know some of you Christians are not, right? But I am. And they have this line, may the odds ever be in your favour. And we always think we're going further than we are. I remember early in our marriage, Brian and I arguing one time. Going, Brian, I come so far. And she said, Darren, I go way further than you. I'm like, are you serious? I extend. We always think we're going further than we are. Like, we laughed about it. We recognise that we both need help and all of that. But if it's possible, if peace is possible, and some people won't let it, but if it is, and that's what we're working with. We're working with the possibility, right? That's what God's asked us to do, is work with the possibility that no matter where we're at, that it's possible that there's peace, if it's as possible, as much as it depends on you. As much as it depends on you. As much as it depends on me, which is a lot further than meeting you halfway. As much as it depends on me, live at peace with all people. So this Christmas, when things go on, why not take a proactive way forward? Where is there not peace with someone? And proactively move towards it. They might reject it, but here's what I know for every person who rejects it, some people won't allow for peace, but many people will. Some people won't move towards it, but many, many, many people will respond to it. And so the Bible asks us to do that. And just let's go, let's do it, let's do this. I've already got someone on my list. I know I've got to make the call, and I make it before I get back to Tamworth, right? And go, hey, let's move towards peace. And as we do, as we pursue peace with others, and as we cultivate peace within, and as we build it all on the foundation of the peace that Jesus won at the cross of Calvary in his lifetime, the peace that goes beyond understanding, that the Bible calls here transcends understanding. So may it guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. I'll close with this. In the book of Numbers, the Lord said to Moses, he said, tell Aaron and his son, tell them this is how they are to bless the people. And some of you will be familiar with this. And so I want to bless you with it as we close. So why don't you stand with me? As we contemplate peace, why don't you close your eyes? And in the words of Scripture from chapter 6 of Numbers, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. God bless you.